As You Wish Talk Radio. We're starting a little bit late due to some technical difficulties, but we're on the air. And I'm not going to go too far into, you know, the rest of our intro because we're short on time. We have some amazing information we want to bring forward. My guest tonight is Steve Marino, and we go back very, very far, back to God knows when, I think 90-something, I don't know, but... he's been the lead investigator here for the UFO phenomenon. He's researched all kinds of other incredible topics. And we're going to talk tonight about global warming, some of the Earth changes, and probably a little bit about UFOs as well. So, Steve Marino, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, James.
Great. Great to have you on the show.
I appreciate it.
You know, something interesting happened. I had a guest lined up, and they couldn't make it. I had an alternative guest lined up, and they couldn't make it. And so I said, you know, there's a reason for this. There's definitely a reason, and I'm just going to let it go and see what happens. And then you called me up and said, I've got all this information I want to get out, you know. So
right.
You know, it's perfect, you know, divine timing, you might say.
Yeah. Well, it's rather disparaging information, but nonetheless, it's information. There is a good side to it, you know, and that's the important part of it is to get the information out because I think it's important that each individual takes action to make other people aware of this. I will launch into it if you like.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, you can't heal a wound unless you recognize the wound at first, so...
Right.
That's the whole thing. We got to identify the problem and, you know, have clear, accurate information about before we can find a solution.
Right. Well, you know, it's something we're all aware of. It's called global warming. But up to this point in time, what's gone on is been basically, I would say in the beginning, kind of a state of, you know, plausible deniability here in America. But beyond that, it has been basically a kind of cover-up on the information getting into the public realm. Not complicit, more or less this plausible deniability extending right across the, you know, the lines into the press, where it has just become an unpopular topic back in time prior to January. It was a hypothetical situation. It was there was no science, firm science that it was based upon. There was other factors that many scientists here in the U.S. were pointing out could be responsible for it, et cetera, et cetera. Then, you know, it's funny because back in January, there is an organization that was formed out of the WMO and UNEP, out of the United Nations. It's called the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, was formed as a scientific organization to begin a study on this. The study began back in, I believe, in 88 or something like that, way back in time. Initially, all this formulated to begin closure or some sort of mitigation on the ozone hole, as we all remember. And as they, you know, passed policies to regulate the fluorocarbons and the different gases that were being used for coolants, they actually were successful in this hole beginning to close up, and it was successful in healing itself. But a recognition began at that point that there was other problems, you know, given that that had happened, that there were other situations that could be evolving. So the IPCC was formulated at that point, and that's when the Kyoto Treaty was formulated, thanks to the good work of Al Gore. And as time went on, of course, as we all know, the U.S. refused to sign in on the Kyoto Treaty protocols, and so did China, and so did Australia and India. Now, the reason being for those countries is because they were industrialized nations that were just beginning to, you know, embark upon their industrialized road. However, that's not the case for the U.S., but the U.S. was using them as a pact for why it wouldn't also sign on, because it wasn't good for its economy. But the basis really being they were claiming that there was no science that, you know, this claim stood behind. Well, unfortunately, and as we all pretty well could guess, in January of this year, the IPCC, which was a renowned body of scientists worldwide, thousands of scientists have participated in the study and formulated into working groups. They had their first report in Paris on January, which really probably none of us, or very few of us, are probably even aware of. And they had a major press conference where they announced their findings that was basically 90% plus solid that, you know, this was human-caused circumstances, and that there were these results that were occurring across the board scientifically. They had like a 1,000-page report. They had a summary they announced to the press. This is available for anybody to review. And this was the first report back in January from the Working Group 1. Of course, what everybody was waiting for then was the next report, which would be the report that would discuss the effects of the changes that were occurring and just how bad were these situations and what were they going to result in, being the Working Group 2 report, which just occurred here in the beginning of June, and it occurred in Brussels. And this one was the one that was kind of the shocker, because this is all based on thousands of pages, again, of science, graphs, data across the board. It's been reviewed by other layers of scientists. On top of that, when they finally got to a point, there were grueling days spent in closed-door sessions with the governing board of scientists who were going to release a report, and different administration officials from various governments who were attempting to change the nature of the report or water it down. And we're talking mainly here U.S. delegation attempts to put a cover on the information and try and water it down, because they did not want this information to get out and have it be known to the public. However, it was rather difficult for them, and it created a lot of contention, so much so that there was actually hearings in Congress here recently, and again there'll be hearings next week now, congressional hearings, regarding the Bush administration officials putting a cover-up on this information, and many scientists coming forward and testifying right before Congress. There's actual video footage of this in the news and can be found, information of these scientists all coming forward and testifying, even I think one senior official from NASA. But we're at the point here where we're at the third working group report, which is just released here yesterday, and this report is regarding the mitigation of the climate change, what can be done, and what time frame there is to do, what we might be able to do, what effect it'll have on the damage that's already been done. And regardless of even if we made this, you know, unbelievable turnaround where there was this huge cooperation of humanity doing something that they've never done before, within the next 10 years, there would still be this cascading set of circumstances that would be occurring regardless of even if we did this. If we did, you know, manage to mitigate this and work together as per their recommendations that were outlined in this most recent report, what would happen basically is within 50 years we might be able to level things out and lessen the impact of what basically will be very catastrophic damage and possibly the extinction of humanity inside of 50 years. This is information that's well known among the mainstream press, but as you realize, anybody who watches the news or listens to the news here in America has not probably heard a thing about unless they've looked deep to find it, because I have been scanning specifically all the various news medias, and I have been more, I think, shocked and horrified by that than anything else, because what we're talking about here, and finally the senior administration official from the U.S. who was at this last hearing and last report admits that we're going to have to do something now. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, 9 out of 10 people here in America don't have a clue that any of this is even going on, hardly. And yet, people in other countries are very aware of it. I mean, and you know, and basically, I don't know. I mean, it's really made a big change in my life. You know, like I've had a lot of people, catastrophic circumstances happen in my life where people have died and that sort of thing, and it's been emotional upheaval and stuff. But you know, I have never expected something like this to hit me the way it has. Because we're talking about our Earth here, man. And, you know, I mean, I really looked at the scientific data and the reports and then took a look outside. The people around me, even people that are in the research community and are kind of on this cutting-edge stuff, 8 out of 10 people, you know, just kind of watch their news and they think that's it, there is to it, and they read the paper, have missed this completely. I mean, I missed the January deal, and I just happened to be lucky to catch the second conference they had and started queuing into this whole thing, you know.
Yeah, they've interviewed people and you know, about certain events and, you know, about, you know, just about everything about fuelless energy technologies, UFOs, you name it, and it's undeniable that, you know, that these things are censored. And it is the program of the mainstream press to keep the status quo going, you know, to keep, you know, us being good consumers without fear and to keep going business as usual. And so anything that's going to upset the apple cart, they're going to make sure that it doesn't get out, because, you know, that would actually interfere in their pocketbook.
Yeah, that's a fact. It all has to do with energy and oil and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's funny because I've watched this slow evolution on the political side of all the naysayers slowly coming around the horn and realizing what we have gotten ourselves into, but it's still been kept out of the mainstream, you know.
Yeah. What I've seen is the ones that are speaking against this, when you look at their background, you say, well, who do you work for? And it's like Mobil, you know, Exxon, you know, all the. You look at these scientists that are actually trying to put it down and put the information down. You know, it's the guys that are working for the companies that are creating the biggest problem, you might say. So. Of course, they don't want to recognize this as a problem because, again, it would cut into their jobs and their future. And but, you know, the bottom line, nature is going to cut into their future any way they look at it. So it's
right.
A no-win situation for them either way they go. If they go through the denial program, nature is going to put an end to it. If they come forward and talk about it, then they're going to lose their job anyway. So it's
right.
Kind of like they're backed up into a corner, basically. There's no.
Well, you know, the sad part about it is there was actually scientists here in the U.S. that were paid $1 million+ to speak out against it, and that's
mm-hmm.
the only reason they did. Now,
you know,
I mean,
I saw Al Gore taking a couple of them to task, you know, in Congress or in some of the meetings, and he was just hammering on, saying, "How come you totally reversed your position? You know, how can you state this one?" In one statement, and then all of a sudden you get a fat, cushy job, you know, with Exxon or whatever.
It's outrageous. It really is. You know, and you know, and these hearings that have been held in Congress, well, recently, a senior Interior official, she resigned and she was covering up information on the endangered species list. I mean, she was actually altering it, okay? And I mean, this just happened, you know, like I think this last week here. Her name was McDonald, and she bailed out real quick before the congressional oversight hearings that are scheduled here next week to investigate, you know, the Bush administration's cover-up on all this stuff, you know.
Well, they changed all the numbers. I know, and the percentages and the timelines. They basically said you will not release this report until we get through with it. And by the time they got through with it, they took the most conservative possible numbers and timelines that they could. And even that is dire circumstances. So the report that we are getting is actually much worse, according to the scientists involved in the studies and the investigation.
Yeah, what we're looking at is a situation that I think everybody really should go to the IPCC site and take a look for themselves. They can see the download the videos of the hearings, the conferences, which is basically a summary of the report. They'll see all that was put into it. It's a world body of scientists, a lot of input from even American scientists. And to understand what we're looking at here, because the damage that's already been done at this point is of a nature that even with extreme cooperation and mitigation circumstances to try and head off the ongoing situation, even if we did that, there's still a bleak situation that will continue to evolve here. And given that we were doing the miracle of this cooperative mitigation worldwide, it would at least head it off at a level it off as a graph. At about the year 2050, we could you know, kind of taper this thing off from where it would be headed as a real disaster. You know, the lower latitudes of the planet are basically projected to lose all of their rainforest and turn into savannas. We're talking about, you know, South America. It's already occurring. Africa is already headed, you know, into a major drought region. We're talking, you know, diseases. There's cross-collateral effects. You know, while in the meantime, the northern latitudes are going to benefit for a short term, but it's only going to be a short term because as you look at the scientific layout they have, eventually, like about probably the year 2030, we're going to have, you know, our own effects up here as well. There are certain regions of the United States that are going to be in real bad shape. There's going to be economic cross-collateral effects when this stuff becomes well-known as fact, such as in disclosure laws and real estate. You know, there's a whole bunch of coastal areas that will not exist anymore. It's crazy. I mean, yesterday, finally, the U.S. delegate from the U.S., Harlan Wolfson, finally admitted that, you know, okay, well, there's no doubt this is definitely a problem. There's no more arguing it. You know, we will have to work together to do something. You know, and that's the reason you've seen the momentum from Bush on the ethanol and all that, which is really just, you know, replacing one problem with another with the ethanol, but it is kind of a Band-Aid solution on the carbon situation. But, you know, all the work that these scientists have done, I mean, there's like a core body of like 200, I think, scientists who've been working on these data sets and reports for like 200, probably about 8 years now. And so they've finally come to this point where all of this is like conclusive. It's solid science. And when we get solid science, it's like, for instance, back in time when there was the Flatlanders and everybody insisted that the Earth was flat. And when it was finally proven that the Earth was circular and round, the Flatlanders still kind of hung on there, but they had no choice but to come around. And that's where we're at with this right now, you know. But it's like just a little bit too late because the amount of damage that has already occurred and will continue to transpire is catastrophic.
There is a man, Myers, I can't remember his first name, but he actually created vehicles that could run on water, and he sold his patent to the government, and then they found him dead, you know, the next day.
Right.
Some severe internal bleeding and poisoning or something. But it's kind of interesting that a lot of these people that have the solutions, and I know some physicists that have the solutions. They have, you know, counter-gravity. They have fuelless energy. They have all these technologies. And there's no avenue for them to get these out that would actually bring the solutions to clean up the planet and restore
the
environment.
Well, there is now. There's avenues now, and that's really what I'm here to say. Anybody who has access to any of these technologies or anything, there are great, groups, political groups right now and stuff that would totally embrace these technologies and move them forward. And I've done some research, and I know the Meyer story. Well, there's other, actually there's like about a handful of people who've come upon that idea at the same time. So the water, breakdown of water through electrolysis is still occurring, and I think there's actually one fellow who is actually formulating a business with this, and he hasn't been taken out yet. He's moving it forward, and there's like about two or three other people doing the same thing. There's actually a research that is supported by a segment of the government for alternative energy, which is involved with the breakdown of water to obtain hydrogen, which is supposed to be the fuel of the future, you know. So despite the conspiratorial overtone that may seem to exist in a lot of situations, which I do believe there was a lot of pressure there, but is much more relieved now. So anybody who has access to alternative technologies and would be interested in getting them out, now is the time to do it, because there's not much standing in anybody's way right now, you know.
Well, there's one of those, the water technologies. I'm seeing that they're saying, okay, now we can split the water. So now we're going to put hydrogen gas stations all across the planet. So we're right back to controlling we're back to enslavement through dependency again, which is the program. And, you know, they have the technology now to actually split the water on
right.
the vehicle.
On demand.
On demand, exactly, and that's where we need to go with this.
We need to get away from
the old program
right.
of keeping humanity enslaved through dependency and keeping.
Well, exactly, you know, and you know, I think that's what the big struggle has been, and I don't think it, you know, again, the conspiratorial overtones of a purposeful, you know, reason for that being, you know, people trying to enslave anybody, more so than there's this great economic machinery that we have seemed to embrace here on this planet, where everything we do involves the exchange of some sort of materialized mechanism. And, you know, there's a value to the money. And everything that we have going on between nations, everything is involved in this huge economic machine. And for any of us to just, you know, turn it around and give it up and flip it over backwards is like an impossible task. But, you know, the alternative is our demise here is what's at stake. And
exactly.
These scientists and the IPCC are very, you can tell they're concerned, but they remain neutral. You know, they basically just present the data. And the data's all there for anybody to see. And, you know, I would encourage anybody to look at this data and begin a vivid campaign of letting everybody they know about it, as well as be contacting their medias, asking them why they haven't reported on it, and contacting their congressmen and their senators and such, and telling them that this is, you know, top concern. This is where all focus needs to be, you know, because...
Now, how do we get to these websites?
It's very simple. It's just ipcc.ch/. We'll take you to the main IPCC site, and that's where you can download the actual conferences, all the reports. It's the link to the entire nine yards.
You know, later on, you'll have to send me a short email with all that information.
Sure.
And I'll put it out over the list, and it'll go out to millions of people on the
newsletter. We're trying to develop a page that will have excerpts from all the mainstream media coverage, which has existed, but it has just been here and there, and that's it. It hasn't been out in the forefront continuously the way it should be. ABC, NBC, CNN have all done small spots on this, but for instance, like yesterday, when the third report came out, which is regarding the mitigation that can be applied to head this off at the pass, there was only, ABC was the only, I think, newsreel, and the BBC, of course, did. But beyond that, there was nothing else. MSN had a good spread on it online. Most stuff you'll find, if anybody has access to the Comcast video fan, go to that Comcast video fan and just plug in the search engine, climate change or global warming, and you'll see for yourself. It'll go all the way back, and you'll see the pattern of from January on that there was a little bit of coverage in the world news here and world news there, but beyond that, that's about it. And you'll find little slots in the newspaper, maybe on the third page and that sort of thing. But we're talking, you know, something here that's of the most historic consequence ever to hit humanity. Australia stands to disappear. In fact, they immediately did a turnabout on their whole deal and got involved with the Kyoto Protocol and everything else because, well, their country's going to disappear underwater.
Have visions of the great wave, you know, and some people say it's a water wave or an energy wave.
You know, it's kind of a slow rise in the sea, but, you know, I mean, what we're talking about here is over the next 50 years, even with our cooperation and extreme mitigation measures, rising global temperatures are already melting. Latin American glaciers, the lower latitudes, are taking a major blow on us because of the way that this is occurring scientifically. It's going to cause major food shortages right now. Because we're putting all our focus on corn ethanol, we have raised the price of corn down there, and Mexicans can hardly afford to buy tortillas, which is their mainstay. So, I mean, there's already major international tensions over that with, you know, Venezuela leading the big, you know, cause on that. He pulled all his billions out of the IMF. I mean, we're talking cross-collateral effects are going to happen here. The European Union, I think in June, is really going to be putting the pressure on the U.S. to take extreme action because, as much as I hate to tell everybody, the U.S., even though it's something like, I think, you know, a quarter in comparison in population, is like the worst polluter out of the entire world in regards to these greenhouse gas emissions. And if
you know, one of the things I noticed that there's two things I've noticed that people aren't addressing is that they're saying that this is a bigger event going on and all the planets are heating up and everything else, but it's aggravated by man's pollution. You know, there's this other bigger event going on, which I agree, there is something else going on top of global warming. But the bottom line, no matter how you read it, we are majorly heating up. This planet is overheating, and that pressure is going to have to be released. And so there's going to be a massive solar cycle that we're moving into up to 2012, which the greenhouse gases are going to again affect. You know, you put all that together,
right?
And the bottom line is that pressure, that heat has to be released. So there are going to be, you know, the increase in volcanic and earthquake activity has gone up something like 400%. Now they're expecting that to double. So if you're in the ocean, you know, if these start going off in the ocean, people on the shorelines everywhere are not going to be in good shape.
You know, the thing about it is what they have on these scientific reports is they show how the spike in carbon, you know, presence in the air has gone beyond exponential increasing. I mean, just totally just skyrocketed straight up ever since, you know, the Industrial Revolution began, but more specifically since 1980, that sort of thing, when the internal combustion engine, and has increased just beyond belief. And they have another line there that shows what would have been considered to be natural circumstances, you know. So they've calculated all these things because, believe me, there are so many skeptics, but that's why they're like beyond 90% certainty on this problem being caused by, you know, our emission of, you know, carbon.
into the atmosphere, you know. And if we had only taken action 10 years back, we could have avoided the situation we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about like 30% of species within the next 40 years are going to be extinct, go extinct. They're talking about basically, you know, 100 million people in the lower-lying regions facing risk of floods and having to retreat from their where they live. You know, and this is all going to be from the result of a 3.6 degree increase in the mean air temperature over that time.
And there's mass die-off as well in the oceans. That they
exactly,
have huge
that's a very good
dead
point.
Zones.
That's
and
the
whales
I mean,
are showing up with no fat on them. They're like starving.
James, it is so sad because, you know, I mean, some scientists are skeptical even with us attempting to mitigate that it may be too late. It might not make any difference because the corals are all dying. What has happened is the carbon dioxide is going into the water and creating something like carbonic acid or something like this, where the oceans are actually measured to become more acidic. They have all this data from all over the world, and the corals are dying, and the plankton will die next. The species from one area are going to another area. It's just a mess. And what's going to happen? Where does our rain come from? You know,
mm-hmm.
and when it gets to a certain point, what's going to be coming out of the sky? And is it going to be worthy of anything growing that it falls upon?
You know, they're saying that in 50 years, the scientists are actually saying in 50 years, we're going to be out of fish.
Right. I mean,
that's it goes on and on.
It's a crazy situation. I mean, even right now, as it stands, it's really a doomsday, appearance. But the thing about it is the graphic projections they did. This is what's so critical about this. I stress, you know, these negative things because I want people to become aware of how important this is. Within the next 10 years, if we were to apply these mitigating circumstances and these applications globally, somehow we were all worked together, China, you know, the U.S., and everybody was to really apply this situation, which will be beyond belief because humanity's never done such a thing, we could level this out and mitigate the damages and within probably 7,200 years begin to cycle it back in toward, you know, normalcy again. Of course, we'll never recover all the species. And I don't know, but there's a good chance of that. Now is the last chance of that occurring. And
it has to happen fast. I heard from a scientist. And
what
he was talking about the dead zones in the ocean and that there was no plankton. And with the rainforest diminishing everything else, he said our oxygen levels are plummeting rapidly.
Right.
And he was talking about there are techniques, and they came up with this, I think it was iron oxide, some other things, and reseeding these areas in the ocean and changing, he said there are solutions to all of this, but our present administration would not allow it. And he said because by moving in that direction, then they would be admitting that there is a problem, and they are not going to admit there is a problem.
Well, they are now.
You can imagine the consciousness.
You'll find out now, probably, if anybody just takes a look a little bit deeper than the news they're going to get on TV and in the paper. And I really do encourage people to write their media and say, hey, what is up, you know, because just take a look. I mean, the Internet's there. It just goes to show, to get the news truly from a diversified output, you've got to, you know, tap into it. And luckily we have the Internet to do that. But beyond that, you know, we all have to take action as people in this
mm-hmm.
country. It is land of the free. It is land of, you know, the government of the people. And it's really going to be up to each and every one of us not only to take actions within our own personal life by throwing out every incandescent bulb in your house and putting one of those fluorescent bulbs in there that uses a fraction of the wattage. That makes a big, huge difference. I couldn't believe what
mm-hmm.
the stats were on that. All the way to buying a hybrid, which I've done both of those things, believe it or not, within the past 2 weeks. And, you know, it's because, to tell you the truth, bro, I did not, you know, I've been emotional about this, man, and I can't help myself. I didn't know that it would impact me like that because I love the earth And I had looked forward to a future of being able to go and do these things. I figured, you know, eventually this was going to happen, but not as fast as I've learned it is occurring right now.
You know, we're in a position now where we're going to need all the divine intervention we can get, you know, no
exactly.
matter what it is, versus, you know, ETs versus,
that's right.
you know, ascended masters, angelic, you know, God,
and you know,
the source itself.
Yeah, and that's
we need to start really
that's right.
focusing
that's right.
on that higher consciousness and energy and asking for all the help we can get on this planet.
Well, you know, that's the one thing I've always learned in my research with metaphysics has been the dichotomy or the paradox of the two sides of the coin. There's always a positive to a negative, and a negative to a positive. That, you know, in all actuality, supposedly there's an equilibrium that serves the purpose, and I'm thinking, you know, well, God, when you're in the, you know, living the bad part of something, where is the good? You have to look back, you know, step back from it to look. What I see here is a possible opportunity here that would be a very receptive window for Project Contact to become more accepted, you know, as the need occurs. And the reality everybody has to face of the paradigm crunching situation, you know, of what we've done to ourselves. That
it's going to take some science beyond our science, and
right,
some,
exactly.
some capabilities to turn this planet around. I personally think that it's beyond our ability to turn around. We can lessen some of this, and we can do, and we have to do our part. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing our part. We should be doing everything possible.
Well, you know,
to start living a wholesome, natural way
exactly.
of life.
That's the part right there, James. You know, if we don't, if, for instance, you know, we know, you and I do, that, you know, there are extraterrestrials that have visited and are even present right now on this planet, as we're aware of the case files. The reason that they will not present themselves to us is not because they're trying to be mean. It's because they see us as a low species that refuses to evolve spiritually. And unless they can see that happen, you know, they will let us go to our own demise, I hate to say, because it's a matter of cause and effect, you know, and we're better off doing it to ourselves than we are heading out there and doing it to somebody else.
You know, but, one of the things they said, I thought it was interesting, they said, well, what are we going to do with you, infect another planet? You know, they said, we'll help you help yourself.
Right.
And I like that saying because we gain the wisdom through experience, and the only way we're going to gain wisdom through this experience is to experience some of these things and that we set into motion, the reaction to our actions, and then hopefully we'll gain the wisdom from them and learn that there might be a better way of doing things. And you know, we've had enough lessons in what we don't want and what doesn't work. I mean, we're doing that redundantly. You know, I think it's time to try something else because obviously what we're doing is not working.
And, you know, I wonder if you say that, you make that statement with reference to just this life alone
mm-hmm.
or previous incarnations mankind may have had as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because from a real high perspective, from other beings who may know of our existence beyond this physical lifetime, that, you know, if we do expire as a humanity, basically we will just come back within millennia. And we'll start this whole cycle all over again. But that is what I have come to understand through my research. Mankind is basically a prisoner on this planet because of that exact scenario. And, you know, I think that we really owe it to each other this round because if we could just get ourselves together here and overlook our ancient, you know, antiquated beliefs in God and all the things that we're warring over and unite as one, you know, that we can overcome these problems and then be recognized by these advanced beings and take advantage of their spiritual knowledge and their advanced technologies. It's that, really, that simple. And I know that seems pretty far out, but I guess for the audience that you have, they're all hepping what I'm saying, so it's safe to say. But, you know, that is the next step beyond the mitigation advised by the hardcore scientists on, you know, the mundane
yeah.
end.
You'd be surprised at some of the information, I mean, the emails I get and, the,
right.
you know, people for years are going, you're a doom and gloomer, you know, you're just focusing on the negative and you're creating that reality and everything else. And then I go, well, you know, we're creating this reality as a collective right now.
Right.
And we need to know where we're going so we can make a course
yep.
correction.
Yep.
And, you know, in the book that I wrote in 82, they give explicit information about these events that we're experiencing right now. undeniable.
Right. I know, you're right.
It talks about the increasing solar cycles. It talks about the hurricanes and the tornadoes increasing, you know, unprecedented. It talks about the earthquakes, everything moving up to a grand scenario. So
right.
It's pretty interesting. I think we've got a caller. Are you ready to take a caller?
Sure.
Caller, hey. Are you there?
Yeah, hey, James, it's Mona.
Hey, Mona, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good.
I had a question for Steve and actually for you too, James. In these days and times, there are a lot of people that are trying to do good for their, you know, fellow humans by fighting against things, you know, and getting into movements like Alex Jones and the Truth for 9/11 and all that. And it can tend to make them negative, angry, you know, not feel good because they feel like they're, you know, can't do anything, they're just one person. And I'm wondering what either of you think about that. Is that a good thing to do, or how do you keep your spirituality level up, you know, the shields up kind of a thing, and still work on the down in the third dimensional nitty-gritty dirty stuff with, you know, people that perpetrate things like 9/11 and so forth. So I'll take my answer off the air. It was nice talking to both of you.
Well, thanks, Mona.
Okay, bye.
Go ahead, Steve. You're the guest. You wanna?
Yeah, I would probably have to say that. Yeah, it you know, in this kind of day and age, it is easy to get sucked into negativity. I mean, it is very disparaging. I've been depressed myself for many weeks now, and trying to process this information and such, but. You know, I think, you know, really the ultimate goal is to try to not look at our fellow human beings as perpetrators or enemies, but more so to look at them as fellow human beings and try to understand the error of their ways and try to enlighten them, to help them to see and to understand the effect and the impact that will fall upon them directly as well. This is easily done now with the hard science and the global warming situation.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make, out of all the negatives that we have to deal with in our life, make your focus on what will be most productive and what is going to be the most major impact out of all those negatives. Right now I see that as this global warming situation beyond all the other, you know, outrageous things that have gone on and are currently going on. You know, this is something that will impact everybody, and no matter how much money and power anybody has, and even if they have access to the great underground facilities, I mean, let's face it, you know, what a waste to see our Earth go like that, and what about our children's legacy that we would leave behind for them and our grandchildren? I mean, we're going to see this happening in our lifetime for anybody that's going to be alive for the next 50 years, and our children are definitely going to be suffering from this. We're not talking about lights out here. We're talking about a slow burn in hell is what it's going to amount to.
Yeah. You know there's something that I've always used. My own near-death experience kind of even took the sting of death or any fear of that away. But
right.
On top of that, I find that, you know, if we use loving detachment and stick to the truth, and it's out of love that we confront some of these things sometimes. It's love of humanity. It's love of the earth. And
right.
If we're operating from that perspective and not from a fear or victim base, we can work miracles. So
that's right.
I've always felt that, you know, we have to stand tall and speak the truth and say it like it is,
right.
But not in an angry, judgmental way. Find a common ground to say, look, you have kids, I have kids. You know, our kids are screwed if we don't
right.
do something. We have
right.
to start working together. Or something,
you know,
like that. Use
you're absolutely
some,
right.
some common basis. But I also found is when you connect and plug into the higher consciousness and energy, it will feed you exactly what to say, when to
that's
say
right.
it.
That's
and
right.
it'll come through with such power, it's going to affect them on a soul level.
That's
and
right.
that's what really creates the change.
That's
you know,
absolutely right.
Maintaining that
yep.
loving detachment and saying what needs to be said.
Because, you know, I think God is one God for all, no matter how he's been interpreted by the many ancient antiquities. And even though the energy of God can be perceived in so many forms and fashions, and albeit its veil of connection is so very thin given the condition of our situation, but however, that thin cord of connection to that energy source being or whatever is that common thing of God with all races does exist and can be tapped into. And once it is tapped into, like you say, it is so overpowerful over everything else, it can guide anybody, you know, in the right path and give them the power they need to overcome any, you know, hardship. And
exactly.
True.
There's an old saying that, you know, one on the side of God is the majority.
Right.
I've always loved that saying, because when you are plugged in and you are coming from the heart and you're allowing that energy and that consciousness to flow through you, we can create miracles, and one person does matter.
Right.
You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm glad I had an opportunity to, we're going to try and create a page here that will have all this mainstream media all on one page with a summary where a person can just look and see a small summary in writing, and, you know, some of the outrageous things they'll read, they can immediately click on the video and see a segment of the video. You want to see the whole video, they'll click on that, and it'll take it to the, you know, actual video and where the source of that information is, all on one page. I think this is something that would be really good to as a back-feeding media source, you know, on this information here is what's needed, because when people see all this mainstream news coverage of this going back in time, they're going to be blown away, and it's going to really impact people, you know. So
now, this is a little bit different subject, but, you know, they're finding out that the chemtrails that we're experiencing now are going all the way up to the Oval Office, basically. The orders are coming from there. And they're using petrochemical products to try to create this massive cloud around the Earth. And they think that's going to deflect the solar rays and cool down the planet. And it's actually having the opposite effect. It's actually trapping the heat. And it's a very short-sighted project. You know, it's a secret military project everybody knows about. And the chemicals that they're using to do this, you know, aluminum oxide, ethylene dibromide, a banned pesticide that's carcinogenic, all the things that they're using, it's the same approach. Let's use our materials. Let's capitalize on this. Let's make $1 billion, have the taxpayers, you know, pay for it through the military budget. And we're going to use, you know, our techniques. I'm sure if you let the mainstream media in, there's other ways of creating shielding that are not harmful, that are not creating genocide, you might say. And, you know, now we've got the honeybees disappearing.
Oh, man.
And we're spraying massive amounts of ethylene dibromide, which is a banned pesticide, in the air. It's coming down, raining on all of us, giving us asthma, all kinds of upper respiratory problems, intestinal problems. We've got barium, aluminum oxide. You know, everybody's getting Alzheimer's and dementia, and it's just unbelievable what's going down. And, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are making a killing off of this as well. So you've got the oil, the pharmaceutical companies. It's a win-win situation from them at the expense of humanity, Earth. And this is something people are going to have to also address very quickly and just say,
right.
You know,
right.
Enough is enough. You guys are crazy, you know, running this country. You've got to start. We have to get leadership in there that's really going to work in the highest and best good of humanity, Earth, take the profit out of the situation and the dishonesty and the corruption and the lies. And,
right.
And
you know,
we've got to have a total turnover.
Yeah, I just hope it can occur without there being, you know, massive upheaval and, you know, mass genocide, you know.
Wake up, get educated, start looking at what's going on over their heads, monitoring their own health, look at how it's affecting them, and start, again, like you were saying before, putting pressure on, you know, your congressman, your senator.
Right.
And, I mean, heavy pressure. Don't just say, hey, could you please look into this? Because they're going to send you a little note back saying that, oh, we've looked into it, and they're nothing more than contrails, you know. So.
But anybody can access all this data themselves at the IPCC site. It's just www.ipcc.com. And it'll take you right there. You know, when you see what I'm talking about, you'll definitely be inspired to raise hell, because that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I think you should look into...
Let everybody know.
Yeah, type in chemtrails and look under Will Thomas or Clifford Carnicom, those two sites, and that that alone would be enough to raise the hair on the back of your head, you know, and light a fire under you. But I think
I wonder what these scientists at the IPCC might know about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's education, basically. We need to be educated as to, you know, who's censoring all this, what they're doing to try to mitigate it, how they're doing it, and how it's going to affect the planet. You know, and if we do lose the bees, basically, that's, what is it, three out of every four bites of food are gone.
A third of our food supply, supposedly. I mean...
Yeah, or something like that. It's something
crazy.
Even worse than people are talking about.
I know. That's just unbelievable, you know.
You know,
all of our fruit trees
are just going off up here. It's incredible. And I walked out there and I counted four bees.
Oh, man.
I couldn't believe it. I go, you know, usually you can't... The trees are buzzing. There's so many bees and pollinators around.
That really is.
So we have two hummingbirds. We usually have about 10 hummingbirds. We have two hummingbirds, maybe, you know, a total of six bees. I might have missed a couple. And that's it.
Everybody can do, too, is run around with a little pair of tweezers and cross-pollinate. No, I'm just joking.
Well, actually, there's one way of doing it with a feather, you know. You can take a feather and run around and touch
I could just
lawn,
see it.
You know, when you have a whole orchard, I think, you know, you're going to be up day and night doing that one.
Oh, I don't know, boy. I'll
it is
tell you
getting a little crazy. It is, I think, as a collective, that we can turn this thing around. We just have a few people that are just refusing to go with the flow.
And what it's going to take is it's going to take awareness. And right now, nobody knows. So that's why I think that everybody who hears this needs to let as many people as they know and go to this. I mean, this is a time when if anybody has never taken proactive action like that, now is when it should be done because it's that kind of action that is going to make the difference in if this mitigation effort will actually occur or not. You know?
Yeah, I know. We don't have time for the denial program anymore.
No,
it's,
there isn't. This
you
stuff
know,
has to take gear like within a year,
now.
You know. Yeah. They will actually have gauges and charts that will show what the results are. They're going to have an assessment in December to see, you know, if things are on track or if they're going off this other way, you know. So, man, that's scary.
You know, the higher masters and the spiritually and technologically evolved ETs were giving this message out to me actually 25 years ago.
Right, they have
and,
a lot of
contacts.
And I've
busted my butt trying to get this information out, and
now
it's here. And
I know,
and
man.
Thank God all the scientists and everybody else are backing this.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I mean. Here's a window now for Project Contact, you know, to bring this situation from Peru out, have these overflights. I mean, you know, well, hey, if they're benevolent and they're willing to leave us alone, there's your benevolence. And if they are benevolent in that fashion but yet willing to share their knowledge with us, and technology, I'm sure there's going to be some willingness to see this through. Probably it's going to take a little more circumstance to occur, but I bet you within about a year or two, the window will be wide open for this to occur. So,
well, I think definitely with our present leadership, it's not going to happen. But I really don't see our present leadership hanging in there too much longer, considering all the damage they've done. So.
Yeah, I hope the impeachment occurs, man. Really.
So basically, we're going to have a whole new leadership here pretty soon, and they're going to be waking up and smelling the coffee, and hopefully with enough pressure on them, enough people waking up, which is what our job is to do, to wake up the masses and get them moving.
Right. Well, there was a major power company,
around.
I guess, in Texas that refused to build this next set of coal plants and went the green direction, which is an amazing trend.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is some consciousness here that's happening, but not quite enough, and it's all consciousness that is occurring. It's just a little bit too late, so we want to make sure that it at least occurs late instead of never, and that's why, you know, I'm really making a focus on it here.
Yeah. Well, we're running up to the end of the hour, so is there anything else you want to... You want to give out your website and any other websites you want to steer people to? And,
and also,
be sure and send me an email with all the information on
that's what we'll do.
Synopsis that I can send this out.
I've been so tied up trying to process all this information. We haven't been able to complete pages, but, you know, our site will have a page on it that'll be linked to all this, and the main site is psiapplications.com. And the IPCC site is basically IPCC
and you'll find that anywhere. You can plug it into a search engine. You can go directly to the IPCC site. They just have to type in ipcc.ch/.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take them to the main page.
All right, sounds great.
So
we've got to sign off here.
Okay.
I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, Steve.
Well, thanks for letting me on, James. I hope everybody will move forward with it.
All right.
Okay,
well,
take
thank
care.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
All right, you too. Well, that's the end. So thank you, everyone, for listening. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.